Welcome to On the Same Page podcast.
Hello, readers. Welcome to our book club where we read into all of life's issues using our most recent reads. Whether you're here to learn about life, get some book recommendations, or talk about your favorite books, this is the place for you. This is Elena.
And this is Caitlin.
Today's episode is Growing Up and Getting Older with Everything I Know About Love by Dolly Alderton.
I feel like growing up is something that no one feels like they're doing right.
Even though we are all constantly growing up, it can be such an isolating and alienating experience for everyone.
But finding people who you can relate to can make growing up feel a whole lot less confusing.
Dolly Alderton does just that in her memoir, writing about everything from relationships to embarrassing stories.
It's time to dig into Everything I Know About Love by Dolly Alderton.
So sit back,
grab your book,
and let's get on the same page. For those of you who haven't read yet, don't worry, we'll break down everything you need to know for today's episode.
So, the beginning is predominantly stories from throughout her adolescent years.
It mainly delves into the relationships, both romantic and platonic, she developed throughout those years. She sprinkles in some random things, such as recipes and lists that appear similar to journal entries, like something she would have written during that particular time.
The ending contains the most advice as she looks back onto those years from a grown perspective.
So now that everyone is caught up, let's get into our thoughts and opinions. So the first thing that we're going to ask is, did we like it? Caitlin, what do you think?
So overall, I have mixed feelings. I feel like we didn't necessarily go in with the right expectations for what it was going to be. But walking away, I feel like it was overall a good read. I liked it. Yeah. What about you?
I think about the same thing. Like, I remember reading it. I was talking to Caitlin and I was like, I really don't know how I feel about this. Like, it's not looking too good. But the closer you got to the end, the more I looked back on it and I was like, it kind of all comes together and it makes more sense towards the end. As we had said before, like, the advice is mainly towards the end and the beginning is mostly stories from, like, throughout her adolescence. And I think the stories at the beginning were becoming, like, a little too much for me and I was like, all right, I want some advice in there. But looking back on it, she gives the advice about the beginning towards the end and is like looking back on all the decisions she made and reminiscing on everything that she did and talking about it. And I think that kind of put the book all together in my mind. And I was like, actually, I do like it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think you would rate it out of five?
Out of five?
Didn't talk about this before, but
Maybe 3.7.
I was gonna say like a solid 3.5. I feel like that like goes
because I
did
really actually enjoy the ending. It's just the beginning parts felt a little like they were getting a little bit redundant for me.
Yeah,
it felt like it was kind of just like the same type of story over and over again, just being retold with like slightly different like characters, if that makes sense.
Even though like I think going off of what you said, like, I think reading it, I almost in some ways thought it was, like, fictional. Like, I wasn't like, oh, this is her real life. And then, like, she kept bringing up the same friends. And in my head, they were just, like, characters. Like, I was just like,
yeah.
Oh, that's, like, this kind of character and this kind of character. And she even kind of, like, when she originally explained what her friends were like, she almost explained them in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And was like,
well, she did. Like, when she, like,
this is the main girl.
She would give, like, a little, like, I guess, like, biography, like, as if they were, like, characters.
Yeah, like, for an example, this is one I underlined. It says, Hicks was our ringleader, a Suffolk-born wild child with bleach blonde bob, fierce eyes, and a cape of shimmery turquoise shadow. And then she keeps going, but, like, and she says, like, I had never met anyone like her. But the way that she described them made them seem almost
like they weren't real. They're like just like larger real than life. I was and like, these people don't exist.
That's why, sorry. That's why in some ways I think I was getting like kind of aggravated, because I was like, oh my gosh, like this is like a book where they just retell the same story over and over again. But then like I thought about it and I was like, well, it's her real life. Like, it probably was a lot of the same events. I mean, that's kind of what life is like. Like, you have a lot of nights that are the same, and you have a lot of days with your friends where you do similar things.
And I also feel like that, like, we'll get more into this later, but that relates to, like, how when she was younger, she was always trying to live like she was older and tried to, like, mirror the experiences of older people. So she lived a lot of, like, the same experiences growing up, because she was always trying to be that one image of, like, what she thought, like, older was and, like, respected and everything like that, if that makes sense.
And I think that's, too, like, she did a lot of the same things at 17 that she did at 21. And, like, for a lot of people, those things, like, those times in your life are very different. But I think because when she was younger, she was always trying to have that older image. Like, when she actually got to the age that she had been trying to portray before, she literally did the same thing she did a couple years before. Because, like, she had already experienced that, but then she was in the time when, like, everyone else was experiencing it for the first time, and so she was, like, joining in. All right. So I think we're ready to head to the next section. You?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So now it's, like, any quotes that we found throughout the novel that we liked. So Caitlin and I actually... A lot of this we talked about before, but this we did not. And we're just going to go through kind of some things we highlighted or underlined and what they meant to us. Yeah. I have something. I guess I could start. So towards the beginning, she starts talking about like her relationships and the first time, like her first relationships with guys and like sort of how those developed. And I think... this, she said, really stood out to me, being as though we're kind of in this social media age, and this even was, like, 20 years ago, but... like,
early 2000s, late 90s, for the most part,
And, obviously, then, social media was not the same. I mean, they didn't have Facebook yet, but they got it soon after. And they used, like, MSN Messenger, but I still feel like... a lot of the experiences she had then relate to experiences that we've had in some ways, because she said, and this like stood out to me, she said, the only way that she had learned to get to know someone with distance in between us, with enough space for me to curate and filter the best versions of myself possible, all the good jokes, all the best sentences, all the songs I knew he'd be impressed by. Normally sent to me by Lauren, and Lauren is one of her friends. But that kind of stood out to me because it reminded me of, like, with social media now, you're curating it to make yourself look the best you can be. And a lot of times, the first time you're meeting someone, you realize, like, how different they are. Like, I'm thinking of, like, we're, you know... senior year of high school, we're going into college next year, and a lot of people during the roommate search, their only perception of someone is through social media, and that's like one of those experiences where, like, I think we do have some friends that we met like online, but for the most part I met most of my friends either at school or like
some like work, in person something in person.
But I think that's one thing where like you have to pick the person, and a lot of times you literally just have no idea who they are other than, like, looking through their Instagram or their, like, online presence.
Well, if you judge anybody, like, straight off the bat by their online presence, like, you just have to realize that you're getting such a filtered version of that person that that's not who they completely are. Like, a lot of the time they're editing out the little things that they don't want to be, like, portrayed and pushed out into the world. So... you just have to, like, I feel like just be aware of that and just be aware that what you're seeing, like, isn't the full story.
Yeah. And then she, like, continues on and saying, it's best if first dates happen in real life rather than in written form. Otherwise, the disparity between who you who you imagine the other person to be and who they actually are grows wider and wider. And, like, I feel like that kind of goes with anything. Like, you need to, when meeting someone, even if you kind of followed them on Instagram before, or, like, they Snapchatted you or whatever, you need to, like, throw that idea of them in the back of your mind and just go in with, like, an open mind, because
you can, like, treat them as, like, different people, kind of. Like,
because a lot of times they are different people. Like, the things people post versus how they look most of the time, or the clothes they wear, are very different.
And not just that, but, like, the things that people say, like, because I know, like, everybody's done this before. Like, when you're, like, writing something out, like, and sending, like, text message, Snapchat, like, anything like that, you're able to think about it before you send it. You're able to edit it. You're able to change it. But you can't do that with the things that you say, like, in real life. So, it's just, you're a lot less filtered and you're a lot more authentic when you're in person. And when you are, like, communicating through, like, written forms, like, and online and stuff, like, it's just not, you're able to portray, like, show a different part of yourself. Like, the only the part that you want other people to perceive you as.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you.
Word.
Caitlin, you have anything to say?
Oh, I have what? I have a little thing to... I have some things to add.
Okay. Give it to me.
So, this is one of the ones that I have highlighted. So, more often than not, the love someone gives you will be a reflection of the love you give yourself. If you can't treat yourself with kindness, care, and patience, chances are someone else won't either. And I know that's, like, kind of cliche, but, like, it's true. A lot of, and I feel like that, like, goes to, like, how a lot of this book is. In the beginning, especially, she's focusing, like, on love from other people and from, like, outside sources, and not really just, like, starting on the inside. And, like, as she gets older, she's able to kind of realize, like, how important that is. But, like, I think that's something that we all go through as well when we look for external, like, sources of that love, when we can't find it within ourselves to love ourselves like that. Any thoughts, Elena?
No, like, I can agree with that. I think a lot of it, you can almost see at the beginning versus the end that she doesn't really have that love for herself and that respect for herself yet. And she's more so trying to please other people. And then at the end, she reflects on that idea and is like, I can't please other people unless I'm also, like, taking care of myself. Because you can't be your best self unless you're having that time to reflect.
I mean, just, like, think about it, though. Like, why would you, like, I think about it a lot, like, the way that I treat myself. Like, would I treat somebody else like that? And would I, like, give, would I treat the other people I love like this? And that will tell you a lot. And if the answer is no, like, no, I would not, like, think these things or say these things to other people. Like, you shouldn't be saying them to yourself either. Because, like, at the end of the day, like, it is true, like, you can't push out love into the world that you are not already giving to yourself.
Yes. She also said, like, at one point, it's completely okay to focus on yourself. You're allowed to travel and live on your own and spend all the money on yourself. You don't have to get married and you don't have to have children. Don't be in a relationship if you know that you want to be on your own. I think for, like, a lot of that, when you're really young, it's so easy to focus on these ideals that maybe you're going to have a similar family to the one you grew up in, or a very different family than the one you grew up in. And a lot of times that comes with being like, oh, I'm going to get married at this age, I'm going to have kids at this age, or the opposite of that. But I think she reflects on at the end this idea that these plans you always had for yourself don't have to come true, and that is also okay. And those things can change, and you can decide that's not what you want anymore. But also, don't force yourself to follow the plan that you once had just because you once had it. Like,
exactly, yeah.
Don't be like, oh, just because my 13-year-old self wanted this, I need to do it. Like,
like, yes, your 13-year-old self does matter, and, like, that person's dreams and goals do matter, but they should not forever define the path of your life and the course that you take. you are allowed to change it. You are allowed to grow and evolve and change as a human being. And that's, like, that's what growing up is. Like, your goals and the things that you want to experience are going to change, and that's okay. And you should follow what your current self loves as well. You shouldn't be trying to constantly live up to the expectations your past self set for you.
Yeah. Also, she says, like, if you're feeling overwhelmed with everything, clean your room, answer all your unanswered emails, listen to a podcast, have a bath, go to bed before 11. That, to me, is kind of, like, take care of yourself. Like,
take the time to reset.
But take the time to reset. Like, if you know that you're kind of going through it and you need that time for yourself, then give that time to yourself and make that time for yourself. I know it gets to be such a busy world in, like, all of your life, but especially, like, I know I felt it a lot of my high school years, and even some in middle school. Like, you just feel you have all these friends that you need to keep up with and you need to be talking to all the time. And you have your parents' expectations and your teachers' expectations. And then you also have to work and you have your extracurriculars.
But also, like, a lot of, like FOMO as well. Like, I feel like everybody gets, like, a lot of that as well. It's just, like, you feel like you have to do everything because you feel like you owe it to yourself or you're obligated to. But, like, you don't have to. Like, you can just take the time to, like, take a step back from life, do a little reset, and then return back to life, like, a better, like, more zened out person. And I feel like we all need to do that more often, and that we all focus on just trying to do, like, everything and not miss out and get all the experiences we can, when at the end of the day, if you're not, like, in the right mindset or the right, like, place to have those experiences, you're not going to enjoy them as much as you would if you just taken a step back, giving yourself a little bit of time, and then gone and done.
Yeah. Do you have something else you found?
Yeah, so I have another one. This one is, people are people, and we all make, allow, and enable mistakes. I think that's something that's, like, very important to remember, that, yes, again, it's a cliche, but making mistakes is a part of, that's one thing that stays constant throughout life. You are always going to make mistakes. You are always going to allow them and enable them, and that's okay. We all do it. And at the end of the day, it really doesn't, it's not that deep. It doesn't matter as much as you think it does.
The storm, as, like, as cliche as it sounds, like, the storm is going to pass. Like, it's, time is going to go on and people are going to forget. Or even if they don't forget, it's going to become a joke. And you're just going to, like, you're going to have to cope with the fact that it already happened instead of worrying about the fact that it happened. You just have to be like, all right, well, it's done. It's in the past. Like, I need to live in the present.
Most mistakes don't actually mean anything, like, at all. If you think about it, most of this book is her mistakes from when she was younger. And she was able to write an entire book on them and share that with the world. Like, just think about that. Like, when you are older, you'll be able to look back on the mistakes that you're making currently that seem like they are the end of the world, and do something like write a book and share them with the world, and it's really not going to be that big of a deal. And it's only a big deal because you're living it right now. So when you're going back and reminiscing on everything, like, it's not going to be that important. So just don't worry about it.
Yeah, just, like, don't give it too much thought. Don't sweat it. Also, like, don't worry about things before they happen, but also don't spend too much time worrying about them after they happen. I think one thing that Caitlin told me one time, and it's always stuck with me, is you don't want to worry about things twice, so don't worry about them before they happen, because you're going to be worrying about them while they're happening.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no, but that also goes with don't worry about them after. Like, only let yourself think about it during the moment, and then after, just be like, all right, it's in the past, it's already happened, is what it is. I can't go back.
At the end of the day, like, no matter how you look, looking back on anything with hindsight is going to give you a false perception of how it actually was in the moment. Because obviously, looking back on it, you're able to say, well, I should have said this, well, I should have done this, well, like, this is how I should have acted. When, at the end of the day, in the moment, you did the best you could, and that's all that matters. And nobody else is sitting there and saying, oh, well, he or she, or they should have said this, done this, or acted like this. You're the only person doing that. So if nobody else cares that much, why should you?
You really shouldn't. Also, she said, like, life is a difficult, hard, sad, unreasonable, irrational thing. So little of it makes sense. So much of it is unfair. And a lot of it simply boils down to the unsatisfying formula of good and bad luck. And I think, like, that's true. Like, things happen to you, and a lot of times you're searching for a reason. But I feel like a lot of times there's not really a reason. Like, it's just like, oh, you got lucky, or you didn't get lucky, or, like...
Sometimes it just happens.
Things happen, and you just have to be like, all right,
like, it's no matter happened. If you tell yourself, like, oh, that's good karma, oh, that's bad karma, oh, I'm lucky, like, sometimes it's just stuff, and, like, that's it. Like, you don't have to, like, make it out to be all, like, something that it's not. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes life just happens, and you just gotta let it happen.
And you just gotta be like, okay, all right, let's move on. Like, there's nothing else we can do about this, so we might as well move on. But also, you are the sum total of everything that's happened to you. And that's another thing that she said. And what I have to say about that is no one decision you make defines you. No one mistake you make defines you. So you're a sum of everything. While those things are always going to live with you, and be a part of you, and you might reflect on them or think on them at different times in your life, like, it's, other things are going to happen mm-hmm. afterwards. There's no reason to harp on that for too long. But also, when people think of you, like, when I think of my friends, maybe they messed up one time and did something that hurt my feelings, but I have so many other memories of them that's not what I think it about when I think it all of them. Out.
Like, yeah. The only time a mistake is going to define who you are is if you let it keep on happening. And that's just something, like, just don't let it happen again. Like, like, it's not that
learn from it.
Learn from your mistakes. Try to make, your mistakes are there for a reason. They're there to help you grow as a person. So if you don't constantly keep making the same mistake again, you won't be known for that mistake. That'll just get drowned out by the other, like, your other qualities and the things that you do, like, more often, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And then I'm kind of, like, I'm trying to sum up what I'm saying here, but no one is ever, ever obliged to be in a relationship they don't want to be in. And I feel like that goes with friendships and romantic relationships.
Yeah, any sort of relationship.
Any sort of relationship. If you don't want it anymore and it's not serving you, there's no reason to be in it if it's only bringing you harm instead of good. Like, we were saying, mistakes aren't that big of a deal, but if someone keeps doing things to you,
that's,
like, we're kind of going against what we're saying. But
it's not going against what you're saying, but,
well, yeah, I mean, they're not that big of a deal in all hindsight, but if someone keeps doing things to you that are hurting your feelings, then you need to get rid of them sometimes, and that's okay. And I think,
yeah,
losing people
aren't obligated to be in your life. Like,
no.
You're not obligated to keep people in your life that should not be there and do not deserve to be there. And, no, like, there's people, like, they don't have that right. That is a privilege that you give them.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no reason to, like, deal with things that you don't need to deal with, because you can move on, you can find different people. As they always say, like, there's so many fish in the sea.
So many fishes.
Like, there's so many people in this world that you can choose from, and you can decide to have relationships, and all your relationships too, I think, another meaningful thing. What was I even trying to say here? all of them can have a different meaning to you. I think, like, so many times we try and be like, oh, my best friend, or we try and be like, oh, the love of my life. But people are sometimes, like, a season, and, like, I don't really know what I'm trying to say here, but, like...
I don't either, but keep going.
Okay, there's a season for a reason. Have you heard that?
No.
Like, okay, people come into your life for a reason. You've probably heard that. But me thinking about it right now, they come into your life for a reason, but also, like, they can just be a part of your life. They don't need to be there forever, but they will leave some kind of mark on you, and that, like, is meaningful. But also, that
they're coming in to be part of the storyline. They're not coming in to be central to the storyline.
Yes.
Sometimes they're just like a little.
They're not always a protagonist.
A little plot point. Just there for a giggle or two.
Yeah, but whatever they're there for, I mean, there's a purpose. Like, some of my friends.
Yeah, but the purpose doesn't have to necessarily be something that's like crazy, like.
Yeah.
Poetic or like deep. It can just be like, oh, we had some laughs together. We went to an arcade. That could be it.
Yeah, it could just be like, this is the person I always hang out with when I need a good laugh, or I need a good cry, or I just need someone to go to.
You need a bath massage, something.
Yeah, you don't know. Like, it could be random. Whatever, who knows. And then, I think, I'm coming up on my last things here. I underline a lot, so.
I did.
Things will change more radically than you could ever imagine. Like, things are going to keep happening to you. Everything's going to change. Life is going to continue going on. But that's okay. Like, change is good. Change is good. You want change. You don't want to be sitting in the same situation for the rest of your life. Then, like, what would be the fun of that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
You got to keep living.
Change. Like, sometimes, a lot of the time when change is happening, it's so scary because you don't necessarily know what the outcome is gonna be, and that's like the scary part about change is the uncertainty of it. But sometimes you just got to embrace it, because at the end of the day, like, life is gonna keep going. There is going to be change, and you try like stressing about it or worrying about it isn't going to change the fact that change is constantly happening. So you just got to take it.
Yeah, that was a lot of the word change, but, you know, I hope you got what you needed to get. All right, Caitlin, I think we're done with this section.
Hopefully you're picking up what I'm putting down.
I think we're done with this section.
Okay, I think we are, too.
Okay, so, next question we wrote down when we were, like, planning this all out. What are the main things the readers should take away?
I think we went a lot into that.
Yeah, so I think one thing that we previously wrote down, but we kind of already harped on like a lot of this, but everyone's experience is different. No one's experience is the same, and that's okay. And I think we both really realized that when reading this book. We've had a completely different experience growing up than Dolly did, but that's okay.
She was a wild child.
Yeah, and that's all right. Like, everyone's experience is different, and I think no one should compare their experience.
Because there's completely every single person has a completely different, like, context to what their situation is. Like,
yeah, going into it.
You just can't compare experiences with people because everybody's lives are so different. Like, how could you possibly have a same or similar experience to some people if you weren't given the same resources, experiences, stuff like that?
Circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think, like, don't try. Like, part of that is, like, don't try and compare yourself to other people because, like, you're not going into situations with the same things they have. And that's completely okay. But there's no reason to be like, oh, I want to be her, or I want to be him, or I want to be them. Because, like, what are you trying to say?
I don't know.
There's no reason to be like, I want to be them, because you really never are. Like,
you never can be.
You never can be. Like, we were saying, like, you're not going to have the same look as them.
Like, I don't want to be a unicorn because I know I can never be a unicorn.
Yeah.
Like, there's no point, like, am I going to sit there and cry about it? No. So don't sit there and cry about, like, oh, I can't be Susie Q and I can't live her life. Because, like, it's not going to change anything.
No, just live your life. Try and be you and try and, like, I almost try,
like Dolly said, like,
and accept my differences.
Mm-hmm. But like a lot of what like Dolly was saying, like towards the beginning, is like sometimes you just gotta do stuff, like because it's gonna be a funny memory and a funny story to tell. Like she would do that so often with her friends, like, oh well, like is this like necessarily like the smartest idea or like the most responsible? No, but it's gonna make a good story. So sometimes it's okay to just do things because you think it'll be funny. Like, there doesn't have to necessarily always be, like, a method behind your madness. Sometimes you can just, like, live your life to make good stories so that you can share with other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you want
to... Next one. Okay. So, again, I already went over this a little bit, but none of your mistakes define you. Back to what we were saying with just, like, you are... Was it, like, you are some of, like, all of your experiences or you're some of everything?
Yeah.
Like... Not one, like, one thing is not going to be how people perceive you. People are going to take into account everything about you, like, every little thing. So just that one little thing that you, like, hyperfixate on or, like, oh my gosh, like, this is how people, like, people are going to hate me for this or this is how, like, everybody's going to see me when they meet me or they know, like, know about this one thing about me, like, it's really not, like, people are thinking about everything about you when they are thinking about you as a person.
Mm-hmm.
So just like one thing does not define you.
No,
that goes with good and bad too. Like, one good thing is not going to define you either, so you have to constantly be like putting out into the world how you want to be perceived. You can't just, yeah, like donate to charity once and then people like be like, oh, I'm a good human being. Like, yeah, you gotta constantly be pushing out like pushing what you want people, you gotta constantly be putting down what you want people to pick up.
Exactly, because they're not gonna pick it up on the first try. Like, mm-mm, you need to make it easy so they can really see it. You gotta
sometimes chuck it at them.
All right, that was a strange analogy, but moving on. Obviously, as we've been saying literally for the past 30 minutes, you will make mistakes and you will look back on decisions you made and be like, oh, what's wrong with me? But that's a part of growing up and it's normal. It is so normal to be like, why did I do that? I regret that. That was really kind of weird of me to do. But yeah, that's good, almost, in some ways.
Everybody does it.
You just laugh about it. Like,
this morning, I accidentally cut someone off at the door in the Cheesecake Factory, and that was a big mistake for me. But it's okay, and, you know, I hope they're not going to go home and be like, oh my gosh, that girl was so rude, she cut me off at the door in the Cheesecake Factory. But they don't care about it. And I don't care about it either. Like, it was a mistake. They understand.
You obviously do care if you're bringing it up right now.
It was a low moment for me. Anyways. Okay.
So, who would we recommend this to and why, Caitlin?
probably, like, teenagers. Specifically, like, teenage girls. People who are, like, starting to date, you know, getting into relationships, you know.
Experiencing experiences for the first time. Going through things they've never gone through.
Really profound.
For the first time. Because she really harps on, like, a lot of that. Though she does give, like, the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth time she went through some of the same things. But that's okay. You get the first time in there, too. And you can, like, look back on all of that and relate to her because you're like, oh, I just went through this too. And maybe, I mean, she didn't just go through it, but it's her reflecting on when she did just first go through it, so.
And also, a lot of these, though, like, are her, like, her embarrassing stories from when she was younger. So if you're able to look, like, to read this and relate to her, you are able to see that, like, everybody has embarrassing childhood stories. And again, like, what we were saying in the beginning, like, it's this book, like, when you're reading it and you're reading about, like, another person's, like, stupid, embarrassing mistakes, like, you feel a lot less isolated in your own stupid, embarrassing mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, like, another thing we're saying, it's a very quick and easy read, and it's perfect for someone who wants, like, something casual and entertaining to read.
Yeah. It's not something you need to sit down with a pen and a highlighter and, like, little sticky tabs and annotate every little thing. You could if you wanted to, but you really don't need to.
Obviously, I took that approach, as we know from the quotes. Yeah. But anyway, Caitlin didn't, so.
Yeah, like, I just, for a lot of it, I just read, because, like, at the beginning, like, it just reminded me of, like, reality TV. Like, you just sit and you watch, like, other people's, like, life stories, and it's just entertaining. Like, it's allowed to, like, life is just allowed to be entertaining sometimes, and there has, like, there doesn't necessarily have to be some deep poetic meaning behind anything. Like, you can just, and that's, like, kind of how this book is. Like, you can just read it for funsies.
Yeah, and I think, well, I think also, like, obviously, I don't know what mindset she was in when writing it, but I think she wants it to be taken in whatever way that the person takes it. Like, you could, if you wanted to, like Caitlin was saying, highlight it and try and find the meaningful parts of it. Like, all her
life lessons. Because there is life lessons, and there is advice, and there is, like, wisdom to be passed on. Yes, recipes. Like, there's some good recipes in here.
Yeah.
I was looking at those.
Some mac and cheese,
there's a cake. Pizza, and, like, there's, like, an ice cream one, too, I want to say.
Yeah.
But anyways, like, I forgot what I was going to say.
I don't know either, so you okay, just want... Okay.
Okay, so, everyone, it's time to get real. So let's get all your tissues and all your issues. So, who's in need of some advice?
All right, so I'm going to start this section with, we've literally been giving, like, quote-unquote advice this whole time, but it's kind of just our relating,
it's just our spitballing.
Us relating to what she said, but now we're going to relate to our own life and give you, like, a little, we each came up with, like, a little piece for you. So mine is, don't rush the process, be present and accepting of the age you are. That's the first part of it. But let's digest that a bit. So don't rush growing up. And she says this a lot in the novel. Not a novel. It's a memoir. So it's not a novel. A novel's fictional. Anyway. she says a lot in there. But, like, she was constantly rushing the process. She was constantly trying to be 15 when she was 10. When she was 17, she was trying to be 21. And I think the whole part of that, like, her reflecting on it, she does say don't rush it. Because we're constantly trying to find, like, more responsibility. We want to move on. We want to be adults. Or we want to be in high school when we're in middle school. Or we want to be 12 when we're 7. Like, we're constantly trying to rush the process and be like, I don't want to be this age anymore. I want to move on. I want to do this. I want to have a husband. I want to have a job. I want to be in high school and be able to, like, go to the movies with my friends and drive my fancy car. But, like, don't, like, in some ways, as hard as it is, don't do that. Because,
well, it's just setting you up for getting into, like, not, like, a loop in a way, because you're setting an unachievable goal. Because as soon when she, like, when you're 10 and want to be 13 so you can finally be a teenager, well, once you turn 13, well, you want to be 16 because then you can drive a car, and once you turn 16 you want to be 18 because then you're an adult. So it's that goal of, like, what age you want to be and are striving to be and are trying to, like, curate yourself to be perceived as is going to constantly move up with how old you get. So instead of trying to constantly live up to that age, just focus on being the age that you are and just living the way that, like, a 10-year-old should or an 11-year-old should or a 30. Like, don't be constantly trying, like, looking at what other people are doing and looking at the people around you who are older and being like, oh, well, I need to be like them. Because you don't. You can just be who you are in the moment, and that's enough.
And I think, too, it's really hard in the age of, like, social media because we're constantly idolizing, like, I know for myself, like, I watch a lot of people that are, like, out of college, and they're, like, getting their first job, or a lot of people that are in college, And I guess the age that you watch kind of changes as you grow up. But often you find that you're not, like, idolizing people that are the same age, but instead people that are years older than you and have, like, years more of life experience. And that's often why you're idolizing them, because you're like, oh, they look so much more professional than I look, or they have all their stuff together and I don't have my stuff together. They don't, but in your eyes, they might, because they have so much more life experience than you do. But just live in the age you're in now. You're going to be those ages later, but you're never going to be this age again. So just accept the fact that you are this age and live the life of someone that is that age and be happy with that. And don't constantly be looking for something else, because when you get that age, finally, you're going to realize you're not going to find it. Like, whatever you were looking for when you were 13, when you turn 16, it's not going to be all you dreamed it up to be. And that's okay. And, like, accepting that fact is good, because then when you live that age, you're not looking for, you're not, you don't have expectations for what it is. You're just accepting it for what it is and enjoying it.
Yeah. But, like, again, like, once you reach that age and are, like, the age that you've always, like, have said you wanted to be, like, when you're 13 and want to be, like, 16, you don't want to look back on the your 13-year-old self and see 16-year-old you. You want to see 13-year-old you. Like, so don't, when you're 13, like, don't be trying to act the way you think 16-year-old you should be. Like, just act the way, like, 13-year-old you should be.
Okay, moving on. Caitlin's little piece of information and advice.
Yes, this I've already gone into so much, but nothing is as embarrassing as you think it is, because everybody's so caught up in their own lives that they do not have the time to judge yours. If you think about how much you just sit around, like, judging everybody by their mistakes and judging everyone, you'll find that it's really not that often. And the same goes for people towards you. Nobody's sitting around judging you. And if they are, that's really stupid, because that shows that they have way too much time on their hands and they should probably get a hobby. And that's a reflection on them, not you.
Yep, that's not your problem. That's their problem, and you shouldn't even have to worry about that. Like, just...
And why do you care about... They're obviously a loser, so why would you even care about their opinion at that point?
Exactly. But just, like... Nothing is a big deal. As we said over and over again, no one mistake defines you. No one's really that caught up in your life more than you are. You're the one that's, like, all worried about what's going on. Everyone else is just living their life.
Yeah. I mean, not to go on, like, a little existential rant, but it's just life. Like,
she says,
at the end of the day, like, we all live it, we all die, and... That's it. Like, no matter, Dolly, like, said. No matter what you think happens afterwards, life, it's just life. It's not that big of a deal. We're on a floating rock in the middle of space. Like,
all right, Caitlin.
Not to get all existential. Tone it
down. 40 minutes in, she's gotten way too far off the road. We might need to, I was going to say we'll put her back on the road, but we're about to end this off for you guys. So, like, I guess we're ending on an existential note.
No, let me wrap it back. Okay, I can wrap it back. Oh gosh, I've really gone off the road. I'm in the middle of the
woods. She's off the rails.
Anyways, your mistakes don't really mean anything. Embarrassment is nothing but a mindset. So if you can get out of that mindset, like,
you're get in the grindset.
We need to be done.
All right, it's too late, guys. I think we're
cut off.
Okay, readers. Thank you for joining us.
We hope you enjoyed this as much as we did.
Obviously, you can tell we really did, because we've been laughing this whole time. But join us for the next episode for a chat about another of our favorite reads. Yes. Or it might not be a favorite. Who knows? Yes.
Stay tuned for what the book is. And hopefully we will see you guys soon.
Bye.
Bye.